48th on the ranking of great football movies means that it's actually a bad football movie.
Where's the line? Yeah, there's a sliding scale where it becomes around 12. It probably starts getting to be, I don't know. We're people say that we're too sort of down on these movies. So we have to decide, you know, we don't like the movies enough. So I'm going into this one with an open mind and an open bottle of Ballast Point Grapefruit Sculpin IPA, Connor.
Awesome. So Connor Orr, Mark Mravick, Jenny Vrentis, I assembled this specific panel of experts for this movie because we're watching All the Right Moves, Tom Cruise, 1983, a story of a kid trying to use football to get out of a hardened central to western Pennsylvania steel town, essentially Mark's life story,
substitute football
for the magazine world. So now, and we have representatives now from eastern, central, and western Pennsylvania sort of judge a little bit of the authenticity here, which I'm very excited about.
It's set in Johnstown, I understand.
Johnstown.
Filmed in Johnstown.
I don't think it's set. Well, we're going to find out.
Okay. Well, I once competed in a swim meet in Johnstown.
What were your immediate takeaways?
Well, I just really saw the pool, and that was it. I don't remember much else.
I'm really looking forward, Connor, when we watched Invincible and you were all over the Philly accents or the lack thereof. I want to hear that.
Ooh.
I want to hear that Pittsburgh, that Western Pennsylvania accent.
Really, really thick.
Yeah.
I want gross to hear Pittsburgh accent.
If Tom Cruise can pull off a Pittsburgh accent, then he is more actor than I ever
Very
gave him credit for.
Difficult. You know, it's interesting to see on the credits. We'll have to look. Well, recently, I was perusing the credits of Big Little Lies to see who the sound mixer or music selector was, because that's great. I noticed that there was a dialect coach for Nicole Kidman.
See?
So I'm curious if, I mean, because she has the Australian accent and they want her to sound Californian, I guess. Now, will there be a dialect coach for Tom Cruise?
Interesting.
If he says snow, we'll know he's from these.
Steelers. Yeah.
Steelers.
Oh, good. Yes, very good.
I will say that a quick view of the trailer, the evil
head coach. He's going right up the room over there.
The evil head coach in this movie is Craig T. Nelson, who just sounds a lot like Craig T. Nelson. So we might be asking for too much there, but we're going to get into All the Right Moves here, and we'll let you guys know what we think. Rarely do we break this early in a movie, but there is just a lot to take in
here.
Wow.
I mean,
where to begin?
Raunchy.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly raunchy in the second line of the movie. I can't even repeat it.
No, it's not suitable for repeating on the pod.
Not suitable for repeating on the pod. And then the classmate who was enjoying his own company in the back of the typing class.
That was a nice way to say it.
Wow.
We're watching this, by the way, in a glass-enclosed conference room in full view of the rest of the newsroom, so everyone can kind of understand the complications associated with this. I'm kind of on the trigger right now, so I'm a little bit nervous. I knew it was R-rated. I thought this was more of a language thing, but apparently not.
I mean, they're dancing in their jockstraps in the locker room already.
But in a coordinated thrust.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was very...
That would be a flag in the NFL.
That's right. Coordinated celebration.
Well, coordinated is okay,
allowed.
But the thrusting,
Is
what's
well,
not...
on Key and Peele, right.
Okay,
Key and Peele would be definitely... Three thrusts is a flag.
So we have a general idea of the crux of this, right? Is that Tom Cruise is a football player in this hardened... Pittsburgh town in
Ampipe, Pennsylvania.
Ampipe.
I mean, what a name.
It's not. That's no city and town in western Pennsylvania. It's called Ampipe.
Ampipe.
There's an Ambridge, but there's no Ampipe.
With metaphorical dreams of becoming an engineer because everybody else in the town works at the steel mill and he wants to have a say in what happens to the steel after it becomes
steel.
This
is like my dad.
So he's an engineer.
My dad, my grandfather was a steel worker at Aliquippa, and my dad dreamed of getting out and became an engineer. He went to MIT and got a PhD and all that stuff.
He was not this crass in high school, though.
I guess you can't vouch for that.
I don't know about that. He and Mike Ditka, his best friend, were quite the hellraisers at Aliquippa High in 1957. So one
interesting tidbit from the trivia section of IMDb is that the director was so concerned about the look and feel of this movie that he sent both Tom Cruise and his girlfriend in the movie, Lea Thompson is her name? Lea
Thompson,
to high school. They sent them to a high school to enroll in high school, so that they could be among high schoolers again to see how they would act.
Oh, Fast Times at Ampipe High. That's what Cameron Crowe, is that his name? That was the basis of that whole movie. Was Cameron Crowe went back to high school and snuck into high school basically and registered for a year, and he wrote a gigantic Rolling Stone story about it, which became a movie.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
So Tom Cruise is recognized after one day, obviously, because he's like a mega movie star in the early 80s. Leah Thompson was not. Took her about a week, but she was asked out, apparently, according to IMDb, was asked out a bunch of times, got bored of it, and said, I'm not doing this anymore.
Wow, that's a really interesting tidbit from IMDb.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they had information like that available.
Trivia section.
Oh, trivia section. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You got to, that's like three layers deep in IMDb, Jenny.
Oh, I guess I haven't spent enough time on the page, but this is a free ad for IMDb. I thought Varsity Blues was raunchy at times. This is another level.
It's very gritty. I mean, it's gritty. The look is, they filmed it in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, right? So this is. It's the old steel mills. Probably none of them are there anymore. This was 1983, so that, how many years ago is that? 35 years ago, 36 years ago. A lot of that old infrastructure is all gone now. There's very little steel production in Western Pennsylvania, as you probably know. But this is it looks good.
Little did we know that all of these people would be the basis of the Trump campaign 25 years later, right? they were going to bring all the steel back. So,
right, MAGA, right, right. It didn't quite happen.
But, so we're approaching a game against Walnut Hill or Walnut Crest or something, Walnut something or other, and it seems to be like the defining game or the defining moment of the season. Craig T. Nelson is drawing up a play. He's broken up the coordinated thrusting in the locker room.
Thank goodness. It was making me quite uncomfortable.
Where are you guys at with this now? I don't know. I sense a general unease in the room is basically how I feel.
I'm still waiting to sort of get absorbed by the movie. Yeah. I'm still holding it at arm's length a little bit.
You have the tendency of feeling trapped by these things.
Starting to feel trapped. I have to say, I did, when we paused it, I checked to see how many minutes had passed.
We paused a little bit early. I think, so the idea is that Tom Cruise says there's a bunch of scouts that are going to be at this game watching the other team because they're better, and this is his chance. He has one chance to show the scouts what he can do so that he can earn a scholarship and become an engineer.
It seems like he wants to go to a good engineering school with a strong football team. It seems like he should be considering Penn State University.
Well, there you go.
My father was a chemical engineer at Penn State University. So I saw a lot of
science background here, a lot of engineering background.
Yes, that's true. We can relate a lot to more than just the location. He had a Penn State banner in his bedroom. Mm. Connor, is Penn State in play?
I hope so. I would think so.
Have
it's right in your backyard.
Movie?
I have not.
Oh, I thought you had seen it.
See, so we're all walking in blind.
That's why you were so confused about the early raunchiness.
And mortified, too.
Mortified, yeah.
Because you
didn't know it was coming.
When I bring this to the table, it's like I'm inviting everyone over to my house to show them a movie.
Right.
And
don't
now
bring
the movie,
them on. No, this is not one that you want to screen with your kids or your family.
And now, in this scenario, you're like my friends or my neighbors, and everyone thinks I'm weird. So, it's all, I'm feeling the pressure. Hopefully Tom Cruise is. We'll see if he...
Well, the roommate, though, is going to USC. Which
Chris Penn.
Is he actually going, or was he just bragging?
He just said that he received a full ride to USC, which prompted the coordinated thrusting.
So I need to see what he like. We don't know what position he plays
yet.
He's
got to be a quarterback.
Well, this is Western Pennsylvania, right? So this is the cradle of quarterbacks: Joe Montana and Jim Kelly and Dan Marino, Jim Kelly.
God, that was
it's coming out after one beer. It's coming out. I love it. Finally, some authentic
Marina
accents.
Right. But why doesn't he have a Pitt Panthers banner? I mean, that would
because
be his
Penn
team,
State
right?
Is superior.
Not back in the 80s. This was sort of the Matt Kavanaugh years, maybe? Maybe a little bit later
Penn
than
State
that.
Penn State won national championships in 82
Oh, you're right.
And 82,
yeah.
So right, like the year this movie was came out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Pitt was, 76 with Dorsett?
I mean, that's
they did,
7
yeah.
years later.
I mean, all right. Okay. And then they broke that. That was a great rivalry. Pitt-Penn State was a huge rivalry back then.
Yeah.
And then they broke it up
by
creating all those stupid conferences and whatever.
Which school, though, will earn the right to recruit Tom Cruise? Let's find out.
Let's find out.
We should look up doesthedogdie.com to see whether the dog dies in this movie. That's an awesome website.
I didn't even know that was a thing. thing.
Yeah. Anytime there's a dog, cute dog, you have to Google to see whether the dog.
I mean, the
does.
Movie was made in 1983. I mean, I'm praying for him.
It's
with
not
all my
Marley
might,
and
but,
me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that. Not
no, that that if go. That dog were still alive, he would be older than me and Connor.
Well, in dog years, he'd be whatever. He'd only be 12.
So Ampipe is on their way to Walnut Heights for the game that will change everybody's
terrible
life.
Terrible city names. I'm sorry. You know, Ampipe and Walnut Heights. Annie. Go
the
ahead.
Pep rally. They want to what? Bust the walnuts?
Bust the walnuts.
Bust the walnuts.
Yes. Wouldn't you think like crack the walnut?
Maybe, crack the walnuts.
Yeah, maybe you bust the walnut?
Bust the... I think that comes later, Jenny.
Okay.
I said this off microphone. My favorite part of the movie has been watching Jenny watch the movie. It's just been like constant disgust and just like
the language
and just
is,
like
is,
a brow furrowing. It's great.
I think that's just my face, no, Connor.
I've learned to tell the difference. So what are our predictions here? I mean, you know, I think the only things that we need to catch people up on, Chris Penn, who got the scholarship to USC, that all the news that prompted all that dancing in the locker room, he's gotten his girlfriend pregnant.
Yeah.
He's not taking the scholarship. It's fairly clear. And there's this big scene where Tom Cruise says, "We're getting out of here, right?" And then he looks back and I'm like, "Nope. No, we're not."
We should talk about the coach, Craig T. Nelson. What is his name? I didn't even catch it. So he's trying to get out. I don't think that anybody else knows this on the team. He has this talk with his wife.
Seems very secretive.
Right.
Yes.
He's up for a job. And he's up for a job. The only other candidate is the guy from Aliquippa, who's really good. So, and he is a brutal, mean coach. He's grabbing his players' face masks. This is a very old school kind of physically violent coach.
Carrying around a golf club and also
shamanistic,
questionable.
Whatever. Yeah.
I'm really not a fan of Tom Cruise's character. I'm gonna say that. Seems like a little punk at this point.
Yes.
Yeah. Rude to the college recruiter.
He was rude to the college
recruiter. Rude
he turned
to his
down
girlfriend when
from
she
some,
did not want to have sex with him in the car.
He threw her sweater in her face. That was Yeah.
As Connor said, hard to root for, really. I mean, I'm not pulling for this guy. I don't feel an emotional connection with him yet.
Let's see what happens. I mean, yeah, we got to be invested in like this guy's like future, right? We got to be invested in his quest to get out of the steel town.
They also need to do a better job of making us invested.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because right now, I think the big scene, as you alluded to, was when the recruiter comes to the house, and this is like classic rural Pennsylvanian, where like the jealous older brother is lingering over.
He's clearly, he's clearly has not gotten.
He
out
is
of
working
town,
at the
right?
steel mill. Yeah, he's hoping everything goes awry, and Tom Cruise tells the recruiter basically to go screw. Like, I don't like your school, but he doesn't.
Thinks he's going to get a better offer.
He thinks he's
going right?
to get a better offer, which yeah. he's waiting until the end of the last year of his high school. I think time is running out a little bit.
And that's what the brother says, right? It's like they're not pounding the doors down for you, you know.
Seems like the difference between 1983 and 2019, because now kids are signing scholarship offers, like, you know,
right. He'd be
at age 13.
Instagram, and they'd have a whole social media. Yeah, the family would have like a social media, you know, policy plan in place here, a marketing campaign and all this stuff.
Now, the coach seems to have a strategy up his sleeve. They're running a 6-2 defense. Very interesting. Now, I will say, you know, Belichick ran a six-man front in the Super Bowl. Now it was a 6-1, I think, right? Because there were four backs.
This one?
This four guys
past
deep.
Super Bowl.
Yes. So this is a 6-2, which is like a little even more extreme. But perhaps this coach really should be hired by the other school. What a brilliant defensive mind to take a strategy. Basically, they're playing in goal line defense the entire game to force them to pass. This quarterback must be not very good. I mean, daring them to pass.
I reserve judgment on Craig T. Nelson's like actual coaching ability. He doesn't seem like a very nice guy, but we'll have to see how he could.
I mean, he's
does.
Been leading all the players around by face masks.
He's been grabbing them by the face mask.
I would say that's an indicator of how he is as a person.
And of course, the practice was in the mud. This is a trope in every football movie. There has to be like a mud scene. So we've got that out of the way early.
In fairness, Western Pennsylvania is kind of muddy.
Extremely muddy. That's true. Not like a Texas prison, like in the Longest Yard, right? Dry Texas prisons. Also, oh no, they brought out hoses in that movie.
They did. Yeah.
Yeah. How do we get the rain? I don't know. How about we just hose down the field?
So we have the football movie kind of trope checklist. Definitely the mud game is there. We're waiting for some spectacular play. Perhaps, as Jenny's alluding to, it's this masterful defense drawn up by Craig T. Nelson. But something's going to happen. There's got to be a big interception. As Mitch Goldust likes to say, every football movie has a double reverse. There could be a double reverse coming here.
I don't know. It's early in this movie. We're only a half hour into the hour, and so we're a third of the way through the movie. I don't think the climactic, you know, dramatic scene where they all, you know, it's all resolved is going to happen now. I think there's a failure coming against Walnut Heights.
I have a prediction for the failure. Yeah. I haven't seen this movie, but our protagonist plays cornerback. It seems like the corners in this defense are extremely exposed.
They are exposed.
He's going to give up a big passing play.
And also the linebacker dude is all disappointed, right? Yeah. He's like
about
out
to be
of
a
his
dad.
Yeah, yeah, no, his mindset is someplace else right now. He is definitely not into this showdown with Walnut Heights.
So we're on the same page here. They're going to lose to Walnut Heights.
But we don't know what's on the line if they do lose. Like he said, we have to win, but we haven't heard about a district championship like we heard in Varsity Blues,
right,
which seemed to be the main thing. What are they going for?
I mean, it's all
fabled district.
We don't know what their record is right now, but
no.
But Walnut Heights is undefeated, so it's right now it's town pride and that's on the line. If they knock Walnut Heights, which has like a swimming pool, right, and a tennis court,
very nice
and,
locker
right,
room.
And super locker rooms, and the players walk in and it's like, this is what a locker room looks like. So it's the rich town versus the steel town. And so, you know, they want to knock Walnut Heights off the pedestal. But there's all this stuff bubbling up now. It's like Tom Cruise's motivation and the linebacker and the coach has got some nefarious scheme going on. So
are you any more in than you were?
Yeah. I mean, also, I got to say, Connor, this is a brilliant concept to drink beer while you watch a movie. Because I'm kind of getting...
Mark starts off every movie saying how much he hates it and it sucks and he doesn't want to watch it. And then halfway through, he's like, I like the music and this beer
No,
is
the
great,
music is terrible in this movie. The music is... I don't want to harp on the music
all the
time.
You cheered for the dog. You were like, look at this dog.
The dog was so great. Maybe, you know dog. What it was like? The dog was like Chris Rock blowing up in The Longest Yard. It was like, oh, there's a dog. Okay.
I guess I got to drink some more.
You're still trapped. You still feel trapped.
A little bit. I'm hoping to fight my way out of this.
I do think that there's like, so we have some tension that is being built up here.
So quick, like one line prediction here for the game against Walnut Hill. What do we think here?
I think they lose, but I think Tom Cruise makes some sort of play that catches the eyes of the scouts.
Lose.
And nothing good for Tom Cruise.
I mean, it might just be my own.
He does. You don't.
Wishful
you don't care. Right?
I don't like him. Yeah, I don't care.
I think lose, and I think everything is bad. I think it all right. Like Craig T. Like it's so bad that Craig T. Nelson may not even be considered for this other opportunity.
Well, this is Steel Town in the early '80s, so everything was bad.
Everything is bad. Flag.
That was the technique he messed up.
Flag.
Did they throw the flag?
Yes. The flag hit him in the butt.
Yeah.
Oh, here he goes. Did he make it?
They stuffed him. They stuffed him. They held him. Goal line stand to win the game.
And pipe.
All right.
And pipe. I'm all with them. Oh, yeah. Oh, 12 seconds. They're going to fumble it away. They have to. Yes.
I need to record this because if you're right about this, that is going to be amazing.
Nah, it can't be. Right? Of course it is. Look. Oh.
It's coming. It's in slow-mo. It's in slow-mo. Oh, my God.
Yes, it is. Damn. Fumble in the end zone.
Oh, my God.
And it recovered. Wow, it's a Joe Pisarcik moment. Why would you run the handoff?
Right?
That's on Craig Nelson.
That is terrible coaching.
Oh, my God.
Oh, even the cowboy hat guy is just like, just can't, no.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they're not really celebrating very realistically there. What? That was terrible, terrible coaching. Oh, my gosh.
All right. So who was right that they were lose, but
I said they'd lose and Tom Cruise would have a big game,
right?
Yeah,
you were right. Damn.
Sort of, right, though? But then I think he did something bad, too, right?
Well, he committed pass interference, not in the end zone, right? So it was on, was it in the end zone? Anyway, he on the last drive, after he intercepts the
intercepts the ball with 3 minutes left, runs it back for touchdown. They're up 14-10, and then Walnut Heights gets the ball back. They drive down. They're just ripping right through Craig Nelson's defense. They're running right up the middle.
As
right
you
up the
said,
gut.
He's no Belichick.
He's no Belichick, clearly. And then so Tom Cruise commits pass interference, gives them the ball at whatever, the 1 or 2 yard line. And what happens, Connor?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
There's a goal line stand. They stop them on fourth down. And they get the ball back.
What's on your mind here? You seem like...
Chris Penn, like, you know, maybe something monumental
he's
is going
to shocking,
no.
Shocked.
Are you, like, just shell-shocked that this happened?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so they make the defensive stop. The defense works in the end. They stop them, and then they run a handoff on the one-yard line with no time, with 8 seconds left on the clock. All they had to do was snap it and kneel or snap it and dive. But they hand the ball off. And, of course, the muddy practice field was foreshadowing of course, the rain game. It comes downpour like at the end of the game here, and the field turns into a quagmire, and they fumble the ball and lose the game at the end.
Was this pre or post, like, the Herm Edwards miracle to Meadowlands?
This would have been after, right? Because that was like 70.
That was in the 70s?
Yeah, that was 78 or 79.
So Craig T. Nelson should have known to kneel here, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's really no...
Well, they even changed like the rules of the game after that to allow for like kneeling at the end of the game.
Yeah, Miracle at the Meadowlands was 1978.
Yeah. We did a story on the whatever it would have been the 30th
anniversary.
You would
have thought I knew that because I just participated in the AP top 50 plays ranking, but I was unable to pinpoint the exact year, November 19th, 1978.
Why do you remember that as Herm Edwards and not Joe Pisarczyk? That's interesting.
Didn't Herm Edwards was the one that...
Yeah, he recovered it.
He recovered it, yeah.
I just remember that as... Connor.
I always remember it as Joe Pisarczyk.
I think of it as a Herm Edwards play.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. That's an interesting divide, I think.
That is an interesting divide.
So I think where we're going from here is, you know, I can't speak with any, you know, expertise because I predicted that everything was going to be bad. And I don't think everything necessarily was bad in this game. Tom Cruise played relatively well. I mean, he was fine.
Yep. So he had a big play.
He did have a big play.
He had what would have been the game winning.
Here I am defending him.
Pick six. You're turning, see? How deep are you into that rosé, Jenny?
I'm just, you know, this is also unexpected that Connor and I are on the Herm Edwards side, which is like positive. Like, you know. A good thing happened for this, you know, rather than being on the glass half empty side.
So I feel like where we're going from here, my guess would be that since there was so much at stake here for everybody, that Craig T. Nelson blames Tom Cruise because it was the play he kept saying on the sideline. It's the play we ran in practice that you didn't do right. And then Tom Cruise, in his defiance, which we've seen throughout the film,
he is defiant.
I think he provokes the ire of the coach, and you know both of them are trying to get out, and maybe in some way, shape, or form, this impacts their ability to do so.
One of them is going to get out. You think? Who's it going to be? Craig T. Nelson?
Great question mark.
Or Tom Cruise?
I'm going to go with the protagonist here.
The protagonist.
We saw, do you remember in Varsity Blues when the evil football coach tries to come between Moxon and the scholarship offer?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that something like that is potentially afoot here? Maybe this movie was the precursor.
Great pull.
Yeah.
Great pull, Connor.
I'm just saying, that Craig T. Nelson, very similar, gruff, sort of evil to the core kind of guy. Would he be bad enough to mess with a scholarship?
Anything's possible, Connor. I like the way you're thinking.
He's definitely being set up as the bad guy here, obviously, right? But I don't know if there's even, like, it's hard to tell if there even is, like, a good guy, bad guy thing going on, or they're all just sort of stuck in this, you know, this morass of, like, the failing Steel Town and the football team.
Yeah, I feel like the Steel Town is the bad guy in this movie.
Very interesting. Well put, Jenny.
There is no bad guy save for American industry.
That's right.
That's right. God. I'm going to watch the rest of this movie with an entirely different perspective.
Yeah, and a bulldog. Wow. Oh,
I mean, that's a pivotal scene right there.
Holy cow. I told you there was something coming big, right?
Wow.
I'm going to say I did.
Wow. A lot to process.
Yeah.
Craig T. Nelson with a quaint ranch somewhere outside of Johnstown.
Quaint and pipe. The right word. So, you know,
basic ranch.
So,
Tom Cruise. So Tom Cruise gets kicked off the team. So we were kind of right.
Yeah. You're right. You called like this confrontation between the coach and Tom Cruise over the play because he blamed Tom Cruise for the pass interference. And then Tom Cruise comes back at him and says, if you just let Rifleman keep the ball, the quarterback, we would have won. And then he kicks him off the team. And then he doesn't let him ride the bus back. He's got to ride he doesn't get a ride at all, right?
He tells him to ride with the cheerleaders, but Tom Cruise, I don't think, is going to ride with the cheerleaders. I mean, he hitchhiked home.
Basically. Well, at one point, he's drinking beer somewhere.
In the back of a pickup
truck. In the back of a car. And then he gets out of that. And then he's hitchhiking home, and these drunk fans from the bar, where we saw Tom Cruise's dad punch out like a drunk at the bar who blamed his kid. They get in their big old like 71 Impalas and they're driving around and they pick him up. And then what do? Oh my gosh, this is incredible.
This is quite the scene we're paused on.
It is.
They go to Craig T. Nelson's house and they trash it. They throw garbage all over his lawn and they paint on his house. Loser, get out, choker, for sale. And Tom, and Craig T. Nelson wakes up, runs out into the yard and he sees the two cars pulling away, and they leave Tom Cruise there.
That was epic.
That was amazing. That was very good.
He tried to hide, and then when he was trying to hide behind the other vehicle and then dashed to the car, and they didn't let him get in, and the coach recognizes him. So the coach doesn't know who the vandals are, but the only vandal he sees is...
And Tom Cruise was not in on this idea. He was just getting a ride, and then he came out, and he was drunk, and he got dragged into the situation. And gets left in, this is really huge. And Jenny, you've come around to Tom Cruise.
No, not necessarily.
You said you kind of did when he confronted Craig T. Nelson.
When he confronted the coach, he stood up for the teammate that fumbled. Yeah. And here he was trying to say that this was not a good idea. So he's showing some signs of humanity. And the older brother really is rooting for his failure. I mean, the older brother was delighting in the fact that the night had gone poorly.
Connor, you brought this up in one of those last podcasts. This is like a Pennsylvania thing where you cannot root for someone else's success, right?
Why is that Pennsylvania?
I just feel like there are so many people I know that, specifically from where I'm from, that are just incapable of like. If I were to win the Pulitzer Prize, like, what would all my teachers say? Be like, yeah, but he sucked at football, you know, or like, you know what I mean? There would be like an immediate, you know, and I would never win the Pulitzer Prize, but I'm just trying to think of the highest award in my business. Maybe a Peabody for podcasting for the bad football movies.
Do you think we're on our that way. Is Pennsylvania people or just people?
That's true. It might just be people.
Could just be people.
It could just be people.
Before we move on, we really need to address something that Mark said earlier on the podcast. He just casually referenced that his father was friends with Ditka. Was your father actually friends with Ditka?
He was. They grew up next door to each other in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania.
What a story.
They were best buddies. And growing up, I heard all kinds of stories about Ditka. We watched him on TV. We watched his games and rooted for him. He is my sister's godfather.
Oh, Mike my Ditka. Gosh.
What?
Yeah. So now my dad's dead. So now technically, Mike Ditka is my sister's dad. I haven't talked to Dick. I've met him once, but that's Aliquippa, Pennsylvania in the 50s.
That's a pretty cool story, Mark.
Yeah.
I learned something new today.
All right.
Would they have ever spray painted the... I'm going to take a screenshot.
This is
going to be my new Twitter banner photo.
Oh, wow.
Because doesn't it also...
Yeah, that is good.
Like it sums up
Twitter.
We should
keep it on this on this screen. You know?
God, it really does, Connor. This was like, we talked about Varsity Blues being ahead of its time. This was like a snapshot of Twitter in 1983. Remarkable. Yeah.
I'm making
remarkable.
This my new Twitter banner photo.
That can, you know what? But make it bigger because that'll be the picture for the podcast post.
Oh, that's perfect.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Do you want to get all the right moves up in the upper corner?
Ooh,
I'll
take a third.
Nah, maybe not.
All right. This is being recorded, by the way, so... Connor, take a screen grab. I don't think this is actually going to win a Peabody. That's not Peabody winning podcasting
maybe
right
next
there.
Maybe next time, you know? God. Well, all right. So, if Tom Cruise is hosed, if he wasn't if there any chance of being back on the team.
What's going to happen? So there's another 35 minutes of this movie. This is something interesting. I mean, this is, how is he going to get out of this, right? There's going to be some huge trap confrontation.
I was thinking the same thing myself. How am I going to get out of this?
How am I going to get out? We're all trying to get out of this town. Crafters Union Rosé.
Even though I had three meals before.
Crafters Union Rosé is quite tasty.
See?
Yeah. I mean, Connor wouldn't go get any more of the cold beer, so we've broken into some of Jenny's gluten-free rosé. Well, all wine is gluten-free, but... all right. It's happening in this movie, Connor.
Yeah. So it took Mark until the 56-minute mark to go from... I hate this. I don't want to do this, too. It's actually a pretty good movie. So we're about on time as far as that goes. It's about an hour into every movie that Mark's like, you know what? It's not bad.
Warming up.
What is that about the delivery of this to my system? No, I think this movie is I think this movie is good. I think this movie is
I wish you could see Jenny's eyebrows raising a wow.
The second break where I'm like, there's some things happening here. They're building up some tension. There's some characterization. It seemed a little like all over the place, but it's all tying in really interestingly. There's been a lot of like climactic crises in the last 15 minutes of this movie.
Yes.
The last 15 minutes that we've seen.
Yeah. So to bring everybody up to speed here, he got caught vandalizing the coach's house.
Right.
He asked to be back on the team because they only have one more game left, and the coach tells him, no, I saw you at my house. And then just a lot of despair. The mill lays off 700 people.
Including the brother.
Including the brother who's probably, at this point, thrilled with just more bad things happening in everybody's life. And then...
Including his own.
And then Tom Cruise now is frantically calling all the recruiters back that he had brushed aside because they weren't at good enough engineering schools. The linebacker who got the cheerleader pregnant is getting married. And at that moment, everybody kind of, you know, they feel like they're looking at the rest of their lives,
right.
Which
they,
is in this small town in what is it?
Ampipe.
It looks like on their shirts a lot of times, armpit.
Maybe that's what they were going for.
Connor,
because...
now that would be quite the technique.
Yeah.
Quite the technique.
Because, I mean, I don't want to, I'm not going to talk down about my homeland, but it's pretty grim. Even in the early 80s, it was pretty grim there. You sort of glot, you didn't even mention the most important scene, which was the full nudity scene with Tom Cruise and Leah Thompson.
We read about. And so here's the amazing part. Like Jenny, I'm sort of
An incoming phone call.
Oh wow!
Do we know this wireless?
Probably
caller?
Our boss is telling us to stop watching this movie in the conference room.
Our Peabody is just absolutely.
Oh yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's the Pulitzer.
They're calling. We're so good, they just know.
But if you noticed, like Jenny, I kind of started clock watching a little bit because I was but
damning.
If you fast forward through the quintessential sex scene in this movie, it's like 8 minutes long. Like
wow.
It's like a tenth of this movie.
I'm glad that we didn't watch it. We can't because we're in this glass enclosed booth. But no, I thought the night that he gets cut, he can't get he's Leah Thompson comes out of the band's bus and tries to console him, and he yells at her and says, "Get out of my life," whatever. So she's mad at him and he's mad at her, and he's cut from the team, so then he tries to reconcile with her, and they have a really good moment, I thought. I thought it was really... Leah Thompson's great in this movie. She is.
I think she's great.
Right?
I just think her decision-making as a character is
questionable.
I wouldn't take that guy back.
Again, it's like,
know.
You got to follow the formula. That's
right.
Clearly going to happen. But I think it was like believable to me the way that they interacted, and she was like, screw you, and he had to have a real come down moment to apologize to her and sort of make that reconciliation happen, and then it did.
I mean, she sure did say screw you, so.
So then he's so he's down and out. He's like calling the recruiters back who he's blown off. One of them was like Terry Quinn. Is that his name? The guy from Lost.
Yeah, Terry O'Quinn.
What a pull.
Oh, yeah. My God. Like 30 years younger Terry O'Quinn from Lost. Amazing. But she goes to the coach's house, and you think, oh, she's going to go talk to the coach about, like, bringing him back. But she doesn't. What does she do, Jenny?
Talks to the coach's wife. What a move.
Right?
You know, I have to say, really, connecting with the spouse is just always a good move, right?
I think that's probably a good idea.
And she played to the fact that the coach's wife had a relationship in high school similar to hers, in which she really loved the guy, and it didn't work out for the coach's wife, and she went to college and met her current husband. I will say that this was a moment in the film when I finally had some sympathy for Tom Cruise's character. Mm-hmm. It might be the first time that I was rooting for him, because seeing him on the phone, and they'd been in the bar fight, and he didn't do anything wrong, and he was just asking for the guy to fess up. And then the guy makes this disgusting comment about the girlfriend, and they get beat up, and then he's calling these colleges. There was that bar fight, right? So I'm starting to feel for Tom Cruise's character for the first time. Right. I mean, we could say that 15 minutes from the end, it's a little bit late. I mean,
right, but he needed him to come down. He needed him to have his come down, right?
He had to be humbled, yes.
Yes, he had to be humbled in this movie.
Is it a fair take to say that in a lot of movies, football movies, where it follows the typical hero format, that most of the time when the guy has to face the biggest obstacle and he's a dick about it, like, he really doesn't have to come down a full peg. You know what I mean? Like, and you could imagine after the movie that you're like, this guy's probably going to continue being a dick. Mm. Whereas, like, is it a fair take to say that Tom Cruise has come down a fuller peg than some of the typical football heroes that we see in football movies? Like, this is a full peg, I feel like he's come down.
Good point, because he missed the final game. Like, he wasn't able to beg his way back onto the team.
Yeah.
Right?
Did they play the final game?
I think.
I'm not sure.
Oh.
We haven't seen that yet.
Oh.
I think that might. I don't know whether he gets back on the team. Well, I mean, so Leah Thompson has sort of had this moment with the coach's wife where they bonded over their shared experience, and the coach's wife has to talk Craig T. Nelson into bringing him back, right?
Maybe they talk,
right?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. There's only 15 minutes. I don't think there can be a scene with them. I think he's gonna talk to Tom Cruise and say, come back. The scout who has come to see him, and Craig T. Nelson said, no, I'm not showing you his film, is going to be in the stands, and Tom Cruise will have some sort of
story. All right.
So we got about 10 minutes left in this. So let me get everybody's final predictions here.
I've lost track of time, so I don't really know what to prediction to make. I don't know what day of the week this is at.
I'm drinking all your wine, Jenny.
Right,
you should be more focused.
My prediction is that the coach comes around and makes a few calls, and he gets admitted to some really great engineering school, but I don't really have anything else to add besides that.
Let me throw a curveball at you.
Okay.
Oh, God.
This is what I'm waiting for.
So, lost in all this, Craig T. Nelson was trying to get out.
Right.
Right. Right. What if he has the come to Jesus moment and takes Tom Cruise with him wherever he goes?
Oh, was it a college job?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
So he might get the right, because the recruiter was like, hey, we got Pitt coming up, man.
Yes.
And, oh, I heard you ran this awesome defense against Walnut High or whatever the heck they're called.
So what
if? So, he brings Tom Cruise with him to college.
Oh, I missed that. Okay, I really have missed a lot of scenes here, apparently. I mean, really. The other unfinished storyline is the guy that got arrested.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I think that was just like, so the kid who fumbled the football, and is Tom Cruise's like really good friend, and he was going to have to quit the team because his dad was out of work, and his whole family was out of work, and he had to quit the team to go work in the steel mill. But of course, the steel mill is not hiring anymore. So in the middle of class, like, cops, detectives, not even cops in uniform, detectives come in and grab this kid and handcuff him. It's like a traumatic scene. I mean, that's, like we said, there's a lot happened in the last like 15 or 20 minutes of this movie. And you're talking about gritty, like, Western Pennsylvania.
It is appropriately gritty.
Yeah, it's really gritty.
This is why I don't watch movies, because it's just easy to lose track of storyline. We have 15 minutes
There's
left.
There's a lot of balls in the air,
There's
so
really
to speak,
a lot
in this
of
movie.
Balls
yep.
in the air.
Yep.
All right.
Well, wait, before we go, best line of the afternoon so far, and it didn't even come from the movie. It came from Conor Roar. The cake in the trunk is very Pennsylvania.
They showed up at the linebacker captain who just impregnated his girlfriend. They had a shotgun wedding, and then you just see these two streets lined with like old, you know, 80s cars.
70s cars.
And the trunks are just full of like cakes and everybody's potato salads. Cake, like, yeah. I feel like that is like that. That was like my childhood, like
yeah.
5 to 20. Absolutely. Like that is like, that feels very much like something I've seen before.
Nastrovia, they said, which my mom always said, Polish for bless you. So just a lot of,
we've talked about this. Živeli is actually the Serbian toast, which he's supposed to be Serbian, Tom Cruise, and he says Nastrovia. So I said, no, he should be saying Živeli.
Right.
And Jenny pointed out, well, so we had a little discussion. It was an interesting little, you know, linguistic history.
Yeah. I think the best line of the day was when the guy said F. Christmas, and nobody say F.
Fuck school, fuck Christmas. We can say it. All right. We're that far in.
Is our podcast R-rated?
We can F on here. That's what I heard. I heard we can F on here.
But we can't say the other thing that he said earlier.
No, we can't say what he said.
We're going to stay away from that opening line to the movie still, but I will say that F school, F Christmas might have been
my
Connor Orr's line. Not to knock you down a peg, but
I could not have come up with something as good as
fuck school, I think that this is going to become my new motto. Like when I'm very frustrated with something, I'm just going to text you, Connor, and be like, F school, F Christmas.
Oh, man. That is perfect.
Something has to happen, right? I think
predictions are on the table here. Let's see what happens.
Cal Poly.
Hold on.
Yes.
Wait.
Hold on.
He's going to Cal Poly.
I'm pressing cord because apparently Craig T. Nelson got a job at Cal Poly.
Cal Poly.
Connor, it's all happening.
Give Tom Cruise a scholarship, baby.
What kind of football team do they have? Blackball. You blackballed me.
It's all happening.
Yes. Together. Remember that? Oh. Yeah. Connor had this.
Undercovers.
I think Connor reads ahead on these
IMDb's. Five great sweaters in this movie.
There's a lot of AMC cars in the background. Look at that AMC Pacer in the background. Yeah. Tom Cruise is
talking about scholarships.
Yep. Who gave you that power?
What?
Yeah.
This is really getting out a lot of cultural norms.
All right. Yeah. Wait, kid. I was wrong. This is Pittsburgh.
And then he keeps like half sprinting jumping away. Oh, he's offer him the...
You're not God, Mr. Football Coach.
In the facade of the church, he tells him you're not God.
Look at that. Oh, look at that stop sign, too.
And this is Johnstown?
No, this is Pittsburgh. This is definitely Pittsburgh.
Okay.
They filmed some of this
he
in Pittsburgh.
He just keeps like sprinting.
They did a definitely
wow.
did like
he's
a bounce.
At the
yeah.
Steel mill.
Oh, he's
Damn
back
it.
In the mill now. They're all working at the
Gosh.
Place where they're tearing down the mill
Gosh.
Where they worked forever.
Okay, so yes,
they're all working
now at tearing down the steel mill.
Right. They all have temporary jobs demolishing the mill, the very thing that whole team...
The lifeblood of the community.
Yeah, the city stood for. Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
There he is.
Here it comes, Connor.
The coach has showed up to the steel mill.
Everybody's walking out of the mill. He's got Tom Cruise has his hard hat and his flannel shirt.
Come on.
And he's got Leia Thompson, and they're holding hands.
I'm just going to note that Connor read the IMDb page before the movie started. Mark.
I'm not
Let's
saying
just
that.
Spoiler section. I stayed away
okay,
from that.
Okay, okay.
All right, here it is. The whole family.
She's got her Levi's on.
Oh, Craig T. Nelson is apologizing.
Apologizing
for what he did. He was wrong. Look at the fake smear of like dirt on Tom Cruise's face. Play football at Cal Poly! Which also has an excellent engineering program, I must say.
He's going to say no. Say no.
Come on,
say
offer
no.
one to the girlfriend, too. Yes, and we have a music program for you.
Oh, say something about the music program. Please don't let her leave her out. Come on.
No, she's going to say goodbye. I think she's realistic about it. She's the only realistic person in this whole movie.
My favorite character.
Right.
Except for a poor judgment about taking it
right.
back.
She's going to say, "She's see you later. I love you, and I have to say goodbye." Love Leah Thompson. Oop, did I say that out loud? Take my hard hat.
Oh, what a dick. Like, I could have done without him flaunting his success in the face of that.
No, yeah. he's a Pennsylvanian. He's like, I succeeded, you failed, loser.
Oh, the brother's happy.
The brother is happy. This is true.
Someone get Leah to music school.
No, no. She has a whole, like, it's All the Right Moves too. Leah Thompson, flautist extraordinaire.
Saxophone.
Saxophone, I'm sorry, right. Why did I think flute?
Always play the ball.
He did. He scored the winning touchdown. How can he be so critical? Oh, come on.
So we're done. We saw the credits. Tom Cruise is on his way to Cal Poly to play for the evil head coach.
He's not evil. He's just like a kind of a jerk.
Again, like the female protagonist.
Predagonist.
Role was not.
I don't know why I keep saying that, but
was not
fully developed.
Fully developed.
Okay.
Leah Thompson.
See, I thought.
I mean, she's a secondary character. She would be like not like
she's
the main actor, right?
She did say she's a year behind him. She's a junior.
Oh, you want to know
actress,
if I out to
actress
Leah.
In a supporting
or
role.
To Leah.
But when at the end of this, because like it's all about like for a minute there, they made us feel like that. She made him feel like, hey, we're on even par here. You know, you and me, and that by talking to the coach's wife, she understood these relationships in a very real way. So if it's going to work out, I also have to get out of
if
here.
If you love right? him, let him go.
That's what, that's also that what she said, right? Yeah. But she realized that she needed to do that. Her whole story takes place next year, Connor, when she's a senior, because she's only a junior
Mark
now.
Mark is wondering if there is an All the Right Moves, too.
All the Right Moves, too. Leah
God,
Thompson. Saxophone. I mean,
prodigy.
I would watch it. I would watch it.
Is she good at the saxophone?
I don't know.
We heard
her
playing that? Outside of Tom Cruise's window.
That's so true. At one point she says, there's no way you can get out of a town like this with a music scholarship. And I will just say, Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, their greatest product was not even Mike Ditka. It was Henry Mancini. Like the brilliant
Moon River,
the brilliant Academy Award winning composer.
I'm watching you in style someday.
Well, I always think of Fletch when I think of Moon River, and if you've seen Fletch, you'll know why, and I won't say why. But and also my uncle Robert Weix, who became a composer at Washington University and has composed the music that plays in the St. Louis Arch when you go up there. So yes, you can get out of a steel town by playing music.
Two drifters off to see the world. There's such a lot
we're
of world
so
to
far
see.
Removed from Ampipe at this point.
All right, so
I gotta say,
the same Rainbow's End, my Huckleberry Friend.
Indeed.
This is Henry Mancini, right?
I know.
He didn't write
the lyrics.
Oh, okay. Well, let's
I don't
just
think
move
he wrote.
Those.
I hope he didn't write those lyrics. My Huckleberry Friend.
Okay.
Hopefully, a music.
Wait.
Producer
so I just
gotta
say,
voice.
All right. I now understand why it's called Ampipe, Pennsylvania, because it's American Pipe and Steel, and so they named
key plot hole has been resolved.
We
they named the town after the steel after the company that runs it, which. I mean, they didn't actually do that in Western Pennsylvania, but at least it makes some sense.
They might have. Are you sure they didn't?
I don't think so. There was like Manaca and Beaver, and Aliquippa was named after the Queen Aliquippa, who was the queen of the Native American peoples of Western Pennsylvania at
that
time. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, let's just give Connor credit where it's due. Now, he nailed the plot points. I will say that he was not recording conveniently when Mark and I nailed the dialogue, which happened a couple
Jenny,
of times.
Jenny predicted basically almost all of the last
time. It's fine, but I want to give Connor credit for you guessed that the coach would offer him the scholarship. Mark and I are still questioning why he would want to sign up for 4 years under a...
I agree.
It's his only chance, right? But I just, I don't know if I would play for Craig T. Nelson.
I wouldn't.
No. So, weird take. This was a good football movie.
I enjoyed this movie in a way that I was like, it wasn't like I liked it because it was bad or I liked it because it was great. I just think it was, you know.
Representative?
It was representative of a time and place. And they did get like the sort of grittiness of like those old steel towns that are on their way out. I think that they did a good job of that. The music sucked. The music sucked.
Okay, so
which I have to bring up at every podcast I'm on. The music was terrible. There's no Donnie Iris. There's no Joe Grushecki. They clearly couldn't afford like Springsteen. It was like not.
Springsteen
was that is the worst part
this.
Of this movie.
Yeah.
It's not indicative of anything having to do with like you know, that old gritty old steel sensibility.
They didn't
Donald
Yanessa Moon River either.
They Go didn't ahead, do yeah. Moon
Donald
River.
Yanessa, coach. That's all he gets, the assistant coach in this, by the way.
I
he
thought, we
he
all
good.
Thought
I liked
the assistant coach was kind of
good.
A nurturer.
He was the, you know, when Craig T. Nelson was being such a jerk, he was the one who came and comforted the players.
Yes, I was a big fan of his.
It's a good football movie, bad football movie, indifferent.
Do I would just say it was a football movie.
I liked it. You know, it's fun to watch Tom Cruise really, really young. I gotta say, I've been watching the Mission Impossible movies. They're fantastic. I really don't.
Wow.
I think I don't like Tom Cruise. I don't want to like his stuff. He's really good. I mean, his movies are good. He's whatever. He's Tom Cruise, but he's good. Like Valkyrie was great. The Mission Impossible movies are cool, but it's interesting to see him like playing a
with acne.
You know, he's 20 years old. Yeah, George Gimich or whatever. Yeah. Oh, he had acne, right? That was so realistic. He had acne.
Guys, this was an interesting trip down. Well, I would say memory lane, except none of us had seen it. I wanted to point
it was
out,
it's memory lane for me because it's basically
it's
like,
Mark's life story,
yeah, my family's right. whole history.
You're right.
Yeah,
this was you could put yourself in. And my dad, at the same time that this was filmed, was an engineering professor at Penn State. So
right.
Tom Cruise,
we were rooting for Tom Cruise to go to Penn State.
Yes, he could have had my dad in class, studied chemical engineering, taken fluid mechanics or thermodynamics from Dr. Vrentis.
That would have been awesome. Well, I got to say one thing. If you're at all interested in like the history of Western Pennsylvania and football and towns like Aliquippa and Ampipe, Scott Price of Sports Illustrated wrote an incredible book called Playing Through the Whistle about Aliquippa and its role as like an American industrial city and the way football is like embedded in that community when all else is failing. It's the town that produced Mike Ditka and Tony Dorsett and Darrell Revis and Sean Gilbert and all these other and that's what they have. They have football left after everything else is gone. There's football. So Playing Through the Whistle by Scott Price, S.L. Price. This is his name that he goes by. But so look it up if you're at all interested on Amazon or any place where you buy books.
As Tom Cruise said, on the sixth day, God created football.
I know. And you predicted that line. That
you
was
did.
Very good.
That was great. Like you were just like you were just the second.
She was nailing it. Jenny was
nailing
absolutely nailing
thing.
The yeah. lines. Yep.
You nailed the plot point. So you know we all contributed something.
So I would say that we've watched worse football movies. You and I did Varsity Blues. I liked Varsity Blues better than this.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
But I liked this more than some of the other stuff. I mean, Necessary Roughness was bad.
I mean, the interesting thing is they all bad. Have, Connor, they all seem to have that same arc of like set up and then, and we didn't talk about this, like this had the scene where the woman has to sort of heal the soul of the conflicted and troubled player, right? At the end, he turns to the girl, to the love interest, and she's the one who really sets him right. And I don't know what it is about these football movies where, I mean, they all are like that.
Yeah.
Right?
We're noticing a rhythm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. But I would say this is, you know, this was not, I enjoyed Invincible more than this, and maybe it's just because of Ted Nugent in
your big soundtrack guy.
The soundtrack.
Big soundtrack.
But this was good. I would recommend going out and finding this movie if you're at all interested. If you like Tom Cruise, you like Craig T. Nelson. Craig T. Nelson. Craig T. Nelson, Powers Booth, and who I even wrote them down because they're all the same guy. Stacy Keach. They're the same guy. And you don't know who those guys are.
I don't
are,
know
but,
any of these
right,
people.
But if you saw them, you'd say, that's Stacy Keach or Tom Cruise, Craig T. Nelson or whoever. Anyway.
So like IMDb has it as just like a 6.2 out of 10. That feels right to me, right?
I think it's a little low based on like based on internet ratings where like anything gets a 6. I would say
that's
it's a little bit higher than that.
Okay. I think 6 is pretty good.
Yeah. 6 feels good to me. Not bad.
Better than average.
I guess we have to change the name of this podcast now to Adequate Football Movie.
Oh, now there you go, Connor.
That'll really draw them in.
I would go out and see this movie.
Mediocre.
If you're all interested in any of the plot lines or the themes or the actors, I would go see this. Leah Thompson, she was better in Red Dawn, though.
This is a real turned into a film podcast.
The original Red Dawn.
Well, all right. So thanks to our beer sponsors, Ballast Point. What else do we got here?
We've got this Granola Brown Ale by Black Hog Brewing Company.
Black Hog, which is good.
Day Owl Rosé.
Day Owl Rosé.
And Crafters Union, Grayson's Delicacy Rosé from California. That's good.
Thank you for getting us through another bad football movie, and thank you for listening to us talk about another bad football movie.